Senator Brooker, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Your campaign is centered on unity and Americans coming together. The First Step Act, a criminal justice reform bill that you passed, is one example that you point to. But I was wondering if you can point to other measurable success and bipartisanship.
Sure. I actually just left what's called an opportunity zone in Claremont, which is this major piece of legislation that I've passed with Tim Scott. It will probably turn out to be the largest economic development bill we've seen in a generation, moving hundreds of billions of dollars into the lowest income areas. Every state can designate up to 25% of their lowest income areas where people have incredible tax incentives to invest in those areas to create jobs. I've met with people from Heflin, Alabama, to Erie, Pennsylvania, telling me about the millions of dollars now coming to their communities when they couldn't get investment in the past. So my bill with Tim Scott will produce probably, I'm not exaggerating the number, thousands if not tens of thousands of jobs, economic development, and expand opportunity. That's why they're called opportunity zones. And so I've done a lot of work. The very character of my time as United States Senator, while I've taken strong stands in the Kavanaugh hearing against Betsy DeVos, I've also really worked to create relationships across the aisle where we've got things done that other people said could not be done. So whether it's critical rail infrastructure changes, and I hope to see some commuter rail up here in New Hampshire, or if it's just been critical water infrastructure changes I did with Alabama Republican. This is something that I've made a career out of doing things other people said couldn't be done by finding common ground.
Is it getting harder, though, to find that common ground in the Senate?
No, it's not. I think that what you see in this country is a lot of common pain, but we've lost that sense of common purpose. And so, for example, I've worked with Senator Mike Lee, who's a Republican from Utah, because we see that businesses, small businesses especially, are having a harder and harder time competing with these big corporate conglomerates, and we fought to defend them. What I've found is the more you can highlight injustices, the more it moves people to act in ways they haven't before. But it is difficult when you have a president that has made his whole presidency about pitting Americans against each other. From the time he rolled down on that escalator and started playing the race card and talking about Mexicans and Muslims and more, he began to heighten the tensions in our country, in many ways call to bigotry and hate. We need a president that's going to start healing this country, remind us that the lines that divide us are not as nearly as strong as the ties that bind us.
Are you worried at all that the Democratic Party, though, kind of a mainstream shift to the left with policies that other candidates are talking about, are you worried that there's a dividing line here that's being set up where there's just the middle is being hollowed out? We hear about this all the time with the Democratic Party going to the left, but are you worried at all that bipartisanship gets harder as the parties pull apart like this?
So there's nobody in this race that lives in a community like I live. For the last 20 plus years, I live in an inner city, low income area. According to the last census, my neighbors, rich with spirit, rich with character, incredible community, but the median income is $14,000 per household. I have been fighting. I got into politics. Remember, life is about purpose, not position. I got into politics to fight for those people that are being left out. And in an inner city area, we've created broad-based coalitions, often with conservatives, because we had to move our city forward. When I came home to my block, people wanted to know not what my philosophy was or how many speeches I gave, what's changing on their block. And so for me, I stay true to why I got into politics. We need to do more for the people being left out and left behind. But there is ways to find allies on the other side of the aisle. Criminal justice reform is a great example. Bills on economic investment to give people good paying jobs, decent jobs, or things we did in Newark. Because, you know, look, I took a city that was maligned in the national scene, is considered one of decay and decline. Now it's growing for the first time in 60 years, creating thousands and thousands of new jobs and new opportunity. And heck, I had a Republican governor who I can write a dissertation on with all my disagreements with Chris Christie. But I worked really hard to say, okay, where can we find, scratch out some kind of common ground and translate that into real progress for the people who are too often left behind in this country that is moving against low-income people, is moving against workers, is stripping the dignity of work. I think we can restore those things by reminding people of what we have in common.
But being the mayor an urban area, a city, granted the same kind of issues that we've faced here in New Hampshire with, you know, a post-industrial rural state, How do you translate the policies that were implemented in Newark in a more rural area like a New Hampshire?
Well, I think I've done that already, and I will do that as a president. That's why I've started my campaign going to places in New Hampshire where people have told me they don't normally see presidential candidates, because I believe whether you're in a factory town or farm town or inner city, there's so much common pain. The opioid epidemic is hurting this state as well as mine and areas all over. The lack of access to affordable prescription drugs is hurting the woman I met up in North Conway, who's making $28,000 a year, paying $1,000 a month for her prescription drugs, as it's hurting my neighbors who are often putting aside medication because they can't afford it. There are so many issues. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We all should be upset and outraged and demanding that our leaders do something about. Well, I've got answers to those problems. I think I can build the kind of coalitions to get things through Congress. I've shown it with opportunity zones. I've shown it with criminal justice reform. I've shown it with some critical infrastructure to repair broken water systems that are poisoning our kids, and people in this state know about poison water. We have to start making sure that we have a more courageous empathy that leads to action, that leads to change. I've done it in Newark, New Jersey, as a manager, a chief executive of a major city. I've done it in the Senate and the legislature, and I could do it in the White House.
Were there policies you could point to that you say I'm particularly proud of, and policies that you thought would work but didn't work out?
Oh, God. When I was mayor of the city of Newark, we tried so many things. Some worked better than others. Some didn't have as much of an impact. And that's the thing. When you run something, when you actually have to manage something day to day, there are difficult things happen. Look, we fell into the worst economy of my lifetime, and I was managing already a poor city. When America has recessions, inner cities have depression-like circumstances. And so we did a lot of things to try to make a difference. Some worked and some didn't, but most did. And that's why Newark saw our transformation. So I'm not going to say that I had a career without stumbles or mistakes. One of the biggest things that I worked on was police accountability. We have a nation that, historically, I inherited a police department that had serious problems, and I thought I was doing well. It took the ACLU coming in and a Justice Department investigation to show me data that we couldn't even afford to necessarily collect at that time, that we had to change our strategies to make sure we were doing more deep in ties with community. And that's why I partnered with the ACLU before I left to do some of the farthest reaching in the nation police accountability efforts. So I've learned a lot, having to manage something, having to deal with every single day, the buck stops with you when you're at a desk as an executive. And I feel like this has been some of the best experience. One of the hardest jobs in all of America is being mayor of a big city with complicated, tough problems. And to take a city from 60 years of decline, and for the first time in 60 years, it's growing in population. People want to move to Newark because of our public schools, move to Newark because of our economic opportunity now. I've shown that I've not only grown as a leader, but found a way to bring those ideas to the Senate and partner with people across the aisle to get things done.
New Hampshire is a purple state. You know that. We've got more undeclared voters here than registered in either party. How are you trying to appeal to that broad spectrum of voters in the Granite State? If you are a mainstream Democratic candidate, how do you talk to that middle?
Well, I've done it all my life. I'm one of these strange guys. I've been to conservative groups and talked about these issues. The AEI, the American Enterprise Institute, is a right-wing think tank. But I went down there to their convention to sit down with them and say, hey, we share common values on criminal justice reform. That was an important step in creating the coalitions necessary to actually pass the legislation. There's this idea in America that we should hate each other just because of our political parties. Some of us don't even listen as soon as we find out what a party person is. All right, people ask me, come up to me, are you a Democrat, Republican, as if that's a litmus test for them to decide, are they going to listen to what I have to say? That's not going to make a great America. When people were building the Underground Railroad, they didn't ask whether this secret pathway to people out of slavery is going to, if they were Republican or Democrat. When people were storming beaches on Normandy, there was Democrats and Republicans doing that, marching in civil rights movements. We did great things as a country when we did them together. I love self-reliance. Rugged individualism, great themes in our country, but rugged individualism did not get us to the moon. It didn't beat Jim Crow. We did these things together. The call of this country right now, one of the greatest cancers we have threatening the body politic, is the unnecessary divisions against us when we agree, from immigration reform to dropping pharmaceutical prices, we agree on more things than we disagree on, and we've got to get beyond this tribalism and start to unify and heal this country. The president we have right now is adding to our divisions, is deepening hate. It won't even condemn hateful rhetoric you see from white supremacists and others. We need a president that's going to say, hey, we are a nation that needs to put more indivisible back into this one nation under God.
to worry, though, that the race comes down to, at the end, Trump and the anti-Trump?
I think if this election is just about getting rid of Trump, then we're missing an opportunity to unite our country for a larger common purpose. I, for one, am going to be one of those Democrats to say it can't be about what we're against. It has to be about what we're for. If you try to reduce this down to beating Republicans, you're going to miss an opportunity to unite Americans. We need to be back to a nation that has a revival of civic grace, because we have complicated, difficult problems in an increasingly competitive global context, and we got to get our team together. I played football for Stanford. And I used to know when we would score a touchdown is when the defensive huddle was arguing and fighting against each within that own huddle. I said, we're going to blow past these guys because they can't even get it together in their huddle. They're blaming each other for the problems. Well, we are in that position right now. We're all in one huddle. We're one team, Team America. And while China built 18,000 miles of high-speed rail, we're a nation that's racking up debt with nothing to show for it. In fact, the trains along the Northeast Corridor from Boston to Washington, D.C. move half an hour slower than they did in the 1960s. I am not going to let my generation be the first generation that falls behind globally. And we are already falling behind on education, on infrastructure, even R&D investment as percentage of GDP. We're now number 10 on the globe in investing in the ideas and the innovation and the jobs of the future. No more. I'm running for president because I want to bring people together to get us back to being a leaders on the planet Earth, on solving the globe's problems like climate change and dealing with the persistent poverty we see in our country, 20% of our kids born poor. This is not America. It's not American values, and we can get back to showing who we are through the policies that we have as a nation.
How's what you've heard while you've been in New Hampshire different than what you've heard in other places?
So I want to remind you that this idea of saying common pain is, and we need to get back to a common purpose, it has been affirming to me to campaign in rural Iowa, in Nashua, in South Carolina, and hear so many of the same stories. And let me give you one that is very personal to me. There's a woman in Plymouth who told me about having to be a caregiver for their ailing parent and one of their special needs children, who, like my mother had to do with my father, who was dying of Parkinson's, took on incredible expenses, physical toll, stress and strain of providing that, and said, where's the help for the millions of caregivers out there that are going through this? I saw that with my mom. It's why one of the big ideas I have and pushed already in the Senate is we need to be giving tax breaks and more kind of support to caregivers in this country, because they're actually not only doing the right thing by being there for their family members, but they're relieving economic burden, because if that caregiving wasn't there and they ended up into the healthcare system, they would be even more expensive. There's people like that who are caring for elderly parents who are struggling, who feel so isolated in this country because we don't have that more courageous empathy I'm talking about. People struggling with addiction, people struggling with mental illness, they make us feel isolated from each other, and we're not. We're all in this together, and if we get back to this idea of common sacrifice and common struggle, I really believe that we can begin to address these problems, alleviate that stress and strain and sense of isolation, and get back to that sense of national unity. Now we are pitting regions of our country against each other. We're pitting political parties against each other. We are pitting races against each other. And at the end of the day, I just really do believe that this is still one nation under God, and we need to get back to understanding that unity of purpose, because we're either going to come together or we're going to continue to fall apart as a country.
Are there places that you're looking at the Democratic Party platform that concern you, that you are not in alignment with?
I don't know about, I mean, past platforms or past presidents. I think that you see a party that is searching in many ways to get back to the White House, and you're going to see a wonderful diversity of ideas coming forward. I want people in New Hampshire, and this is why I'm doing house parties, small businesses, knocking on doors, coming to diners, because I really want I'm focused for myself on people hearing my message, my ideas, and I just believe what excites me about this state is that New Hampshire, if you campaign in the New Hampshire way and actually go out and try to shake every hand that you can, people will give you a fair shot, and I'm hoping that if folks do that, they'll be compelled by my message, be inspired by my vision, and believe that I have the experience as an executive in the legislature, the experience to help drive the kind of change we need. And I keep asking people, don't make this just about one office and one person. Let's make this a bigger election. This is a stress test moment for our democracy. Let's make this about reclaiming the spirit, the soul, the heart, the grace of our country, and get back to doing the big things we used to be able to do together.
I want to ask you one last question. When you're greeting people. You come into a diner like this, walk up to someone, go to hold your hand out, and you say, I'm Senator Cory Booker, I'm running for president. What's the reaction?
I love that people want to meet you. And there's been that's why I have so much hope for America, because you see the decency with which people in New Hampshire are treating me and others who are coming up from other states to campaign and to try to earn their trust and respect. There is a deep goodness in our country that's belied right now by people in high offices in this nation. People who have a yearning to want to reconnect and to heal as a country. They're tired of the divisiveness and politicians who put us against each other. So I really think there's a responsiveness to this message, but more importantly, I think there's a goodness in the folks in New Hampshire who really take their job as first in the nation very seriously, want to meet the candidates, hear what they have to say, and I'm excited that I found such receptivity, larger than expected crowds showing up where I'm speaking, and just staying in touch with a lot of folks. I've given my cell phone number out a lot here, and people are texting me a lot of their ideas and a lot of their thoughts, and I'm grateful for that.
How much longer will you be able to do that, you think?
My staff is laughing at me because they now know that before I go to bed, I spend a lot of time responding to texts and shooting out information. Who knows? But this state reminds me a lot of my city. In fact, the voting population is about the size of my city. I beat the machine in Newark by outworking people, by shaking hands, knocking on doors, by making those real connections, by being incredibly accessible. And I'm going to campaign that way up here, and I hope it works. I hope I can earn people's trust, and I hope that they will invest their faith with me to not only beat Donald Trump, but to, more importantly, unite this country and lead us forward.
Senator Cory Booker, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.